where Stratford comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Bart Jones joins us now in recognition of Arbor Day, which is today, Friday, April 29th. And also in recognition of that, if between 3 and 4 o'clock today, you can run to the front driveway of Westport Town Hall on Myrtle Avenue. You can actually get a sapling, native saplings for giveaway on a first-come, first-served basis. Will be donated by the Bartlett Tree Company in recognition of Arbor Day. What is Arbor Day? After all, it's a recognition of how important trees are to us, which is something that you and I celebrate every single day on the Lisa Wexler Show. Bart Jones joins us now, president of the Cornwall Land Trust, to talk about the Cathedral Pines Reserve. Hello, Bart. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show, and good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Where Cornwall. Would you like...
Yes, go ahead.
Where would you like me to start?
Well, first of all, you can tell us a little bit about what is the Cathedral Pines Reserve, and what happened to it in 1989, and what does it look like now?
Well, let's start with, it's 40 acres in Cornwall, Connecticut, on Essex Hill Road, just past the Mohawk ski area. And it's a stand of pines that's been uncut for over 200 years. If you go in it, you will understand why it's called the Cathedral of the Pines. If you've ever visited the Greek ruins in Sicily or any of the great cathedrals, you're awestruck by the scale of the height of the institution and the size of the pillars. And these trees are huge. They're 100 feet tall. One that I measured the other day is 13 feet around and has a 4-foot diameter. It's a white pine, which means it's somewhere between 225 and 250 years old. So you can easily walk into this forest. It's only about 5 minutes from where you park your car, and you will be awestruck by nature's beauty and the size of these trees.
Are these a different kind of white pine than the kind that typically grow?
The same kind of white pine that you'll find on Long Island, anywhere in the Northeast. In fact, it was called the Pines originally. Cornwall was cut over for charcoal back in the early 1800s, but for some reason, the local residents, the Pierce family and the Calhoun family, thought these pines were special and they left them alone. So that's a standard white pine, but it's probably close to what the white pines might have looked like when the pilgrims first came to the country. It's a mini redwood forest. I would call it mini. They're very big, but not as big as the John Muir forest, but same feel.
And they grow. Go ahead. They just keep growing and growing and growing because it's so interesting. I have a white pine in my backyard that was planted. Yep. The year we moved in, so it's now 32 years ago. And when we first moved in, I could see it through my kitchen window to the top. And now I can, now I can't. In other words, it's so, so tall. But I'm going to guess it's between 40 and 45 feet tall. Maybe 50.
Yep.
Is it going to keep growing? It's just going to keep going?
It'll keep growing. But the one thing about white pines is they're subject to natural disasters. And that's what happened to the Cathedral Pines in 1989, a tornado, which I thought only happened in Kansas, where it was flat. Cornwall is very hilly, has basically the glaciers cut narrow valleys among fairly tall hills or mountains. That tornado in 1989 came through and ripped up most of Cathedral Pines as if someone was saying to those people in Cornwall, don't think nature doesn't have power. It was an incredible event in New England. And these giant pines, it'll look like when you go there, the pillars from the Greek ruins lying on their side.
Wow.
For some of them.
Wow.
It's amazing.
And so it just ripped it out. It just ripped it out by the root,
so
the force of the wind.
So a lone pine like your white pine is very subject to a tornado or hurricanes. Once that white pine got to be, say, 100 feet tall, if there are no other white pines or anything around it, it can easily be broken by a hurricane.
Well, I hope it doesn't. I hope to live that long to see it get to be 100 feet. What we've done is we have we made sure that we cut away some branches that were leaning on it so that it could continue to grow straight and tall. And it's beautiful.
Right.
It's quite beautiful.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And the tree guy says it's in very good health and it's a beautiful tree, but I didn't know that it would keep going. I just figured at some point it would top out. But what you're telling me is it's just going to keep getting taller and taller.
And it can live to be over 200 years old, unlike the rest of us.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
And
I didn't know that.
It,
the average white pine.
Yeah, if you think about it, right, it lives for 200 years in one place. It can't move around. It's subject to whatever happens.
But, you know, the research shows, Bart Jones, that they talk to each other. The trees are talking to each other. Have you been reading that research?
I've read that research. And when you're in this cathedral pines, you can see that this is like cousins talking to one another. These trees, they mutually support one another. There's no question about that.
So would you encourage us to visit and park? Where is Cornwall? Is Litchfield County? What county are we talking about?
It's in the northwest corner. It's Litchfield County, the northwest corner of Connecticut. If you go up Route 7, you'll come to Cornwall. And I would recommend going to the center of Cornwall, which is maybe the easiest way to get there is to go Route 7 to Route 4, and then you'll come to Jewell Street, which is off the right. It's the center of Cornwall. You'll go up Essex Hill Road. It's a short little road, very near Mohawk ski area, if you need a reference. And there's a little parking area, and you can walk right onto the trail. It's the Mohawk Trail. It was originally the Appalachian Trail, maintained by the Connecticut Forest and Park. It's well-blazed. It takes you it's a little steep, for a little ways, but it takes you about 5 minutes to get into these huge pines. And after that, you can go down to the bottom of Essex Hill, and there's something called Coatsfoot Valley. And you can walk around that valley. It looks like Montana down there.
Really?
You will have a wonderful day in Cornwall.
Oh, how wonderful. That's going to be on my bucket list. We've got Gloria from Westport. Gloria, you're on the air with Bart Jones, the president of the Cornwall Land Trust. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. I feel that one of the most important things that need to be addressed are the killer vines. Lisa and I have spoken about this. What can we do to get the government? I mean, if you look anywhere on I-95, the Merritt, anywhere, it's killing all the trees. You know, within time, there are not going to be many left because the killer vines will take over.
It's a good question, Gloria. And since you brought it to my attention, I see them everywhere, and they make me feel choked myself. Bart Jones, what does the Land Trust suggest that we do? What are we going to do?
Well, the invasive species you're talking about is the Oriental bittersweet, and that is a very invasive vine and strangles trees. There's another vine, which is a natural native grapevine that doesn't strangle trees. The only way to get those is to cut them in the fall and hit them with what's something called a buckthorn blaster. It looks like a underarm deodorant thing, but it has a chemical in it, Roundup, which will just hit the stems and it takes it down. But that Oriental bittersweet is terribly invasive and really requires aggressive cutting and dabbing with this Roundup.
Yeah, but we don't like to use Roundup. You know that, Bart Jones. We're trying to get rid of using Roundup.
I know that. But the thing about this applicator is you don't spread it around. You just hit the stem and the plant will take that down into its roots. So you don't spray it. You just hit it. It's time intensive, and so that makes it difficult to do a whole highway, but it's not spraying.
It's not spraying, so it's just for that particular. Okay, thank you. Let's go. Thank you for the call, Gloria. Let's go to Charles from Orange. Charles, you're on the air with Bart Jones of the Cornwall Land Trust.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much. Mr. Jones, you know Cornwall very well, and I have a question for you. I brought a few groups hiking, and they happened to be haunted theme groups, and we went to the area known as Dudley Town, and we had a good time, you know, cleaned up after we left, did it a few times, and then got a cease and desist order. And I don't know, you know, went up Mohawk Trail, thought we went, you know, everything correctly. Is there a way to go to the area without getting people unfurled? I mean, what's wrong with hiking in those areas?
Nothing if you stay on the Blaze Trail. The one thing about Dudley Town, and it's on a piece of land owned by an association called Dark Entry, of all things. And
correct.
If you if you register with Dark Entry and get a card from them, they will let you on their property. But they're very defensive, especially around Halloween. That's privately owned land. The rest, our land, Cornwall Conservation Trust land, is open to the public. We have about 10 trails. There are lots of places to hike on those trails. And if you stay on the Mohawk Trail, for example, it does go through Dark Entry, but they permit the Mohawk Trail to go there, but you have to stay on the trail.
Which is what we did, and we still got the cease and desist from the Dark Entry Committee, whatever it was. And I don't know if it was because if they're just overly protective or because we call ourselves a paranormal, you know, group that does haunting. It was done in the summer, not in Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are overly protective. It's not well patrolled, frankly. There are one or two times I've run into Dark Entry members up there, but it's not heavily patrolled. But it's a combination of two things, I think. It's that they are overly protective that there have been people that abuse that area. So.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Charles.
Our trails.
So, Bart Jones, Cornwall Land Trust. The Cornwall Land Trust has what, about 1,900 acres of preserves altogether?
Yes.
And
it's about 1,900 acres, and there are several different preserves that you could visit when you're there. One is called Ballyhack, and it's also got pines on it. It's not far from Cathedral Pines. And it has an amazing gorge. And then there's another, if you're into pines, there's another one called Gold's Pines, which actually is a state forest not too far away. But you could easily spend a day hiking in different places in Cornwall.
Well, thank you so much, Bart. Do you live in Cornwall full time?
I do. I told my friends I grew up in the West, New Jersey, friends in Manhattan, where I lived for 45 years. And I had three sons, and we needed a place for them to run. We found Cornwall, and we now live there full time. It's a wonderful place, 46 square miles, only 1,400 people. It's a nature preserve.
You love it. You love it.
Par excellence.
And you try and keep it that way, right?
We do, we'd like to be economically viable and vibrant and green at the same time. But when you think of what should Cornwall look like 100 years from now, should it look like Westport or should it be something unique? And not that Westport is a nice town, but it's very developed compared to Cornwall.
Yeah.
So that's always an issue.
I know it is. Well, keep at it because we need more places like Cornwall. Once places are developed, they never go back. So
that's right.
And keep at it.
And these pines will thank you.
I'm sure that they will, and so will the birds that live in them. Bart Jones, president of Cornwall Land Trust, in celebration of Arbor Day today. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
Bye.